Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Thursday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I'm your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day so far. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-554-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Also, if you happen to be following along via the Twitter machine, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. Remember, if you can't catch us live, we're available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything on the podcast, download the shows for free, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars, write a little review, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you'd like to hear us see in future shows, and we will do our very best to accommodate you. Also, for you smartphone users, All Subjects Everything is available for the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to your smartphone. Excuse me. Search for All Subjects Everything there. Take us with you in the car, the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. Also, we have a Facebook page that we would like you to like, facebook.com/AllSubjectsEverything. There you can find show topics, updates, links to past shows, and once again, we're trying to, you know, use the Facebook page as like our unofficial official forum. You know, we'll ask questions, we'll put topics out there, you guys can comment on them, talk amongst yourselves or get us involved, and that way we know how to put together a better show. That being said, it's Thursday, and normally most of the Thursday night football games this year have been nothing short of a snooze factory. Not sure that's going to be the case tonight, as the Minnesota Vikings will take on the Arizona Cardinals in a NFC game that has major, major playoff implications for both teams. For one, the Cardinals could really use a win to keep the distance between themselves and the Seattle Seahawks for the top spot in the NFC West division. The Cardinals, as it stands right now, are 10-2, and the Seahawks are on charging at 7-5. I've long predicted, even though they already lost to Arizona, that Seattle would run the table, and I don't see anything stopping them from winning the next three heading into the season finale at Arizona on January 3rd. So the Cardinals could definitely use a win tonight, you know, just to, you know, keep the Seahawks at arm's length, which I think, you know, is best for them. Not to say that, you know, the Cardinals aren't adverse to big games. I mean, they went up to Quest Field. Well, it used to be called Quest Field. I can't remember what the new name of the Seahawks stadium is. Somebody's going to have to correct me later on. But they've gone, you know, into a hostile environment on a Sunday night when everybody's turned up and won. So this is nothing for them. And I don't think next Sunday's game against the Philadelphia Eagles is going to be, you know, too big of a contest for them. But to get there first, to get to the last three, They definitely have to take care of the Vikings tonight. And the Vikings, quite frankly, should be in desperation mode because they've had a dreadful couple of weeks, you know, losing to Green Bay the way they did and then absolutely getting mauled by Seattle. Both losses on their home field, mind you. So this is a Vikings team that needs to sort of, you know, right the ship for this season. And I think they may be a year ahead of schedule in terms of competing because this is the first time that Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson have played together at all. Because if you'll remember, Bridgewater wasn't a starter at the beginning of last season. And Peterson, of course, was suspended for the entire 2014 season, for allegations of child abuse. So you figure, you know, that AP and Teddy would have needed a year to play together, but so far, for the most part, it's been working right up until the Vikings had, you know, a mass of injuries on defense and the offensive line has just forgotten how to play offensive line. So the Vikings definitely need a win in the worst way, probably more so than the Cardinals, because Green Bay has a very winnable game this Sunday afternoon. They'll be hosting the Cowboys at Lambeau Field. And, of course, the last time the Cowboys and the Packers played at Lambeau, there was this non-catch that is still much the topic of discussion in the NFL in NFL circles to this very minute. So this is big. So this is a big game on both sides, and I expect, you know, nothing less than, you know, both teams to come out and compete. But I think the biggest thing is that the Vikings offensive line has to do something against this Cardinal defense. Because they can stack 7 or 8 in the box and force, you know, the Vikings to just, you know, keep feeding Adrian Peterson. And if he can't get loose, then that can't, you know, that doesn't bode well for Teddy Bridgewater being able to get time to throw the ball. Because if they know what's coming, you know, they'll more often than not, they'll guess right. And that's nothing against Norv Turner as an offensive coordinator. It's just that the offensive line for the Vikings stinks right now. So they have to get Adrian Peterson started, and if they can do that and keep the Cardinals front 7 off of Teddy Bridgewater's backside, then they'll have a shot. Cardinals offense, meanwhile, is rolling on all cylinders. You got Carson Palmer, who is a, you know, league MVP candidate. I crowned Cam Newton on Tuesday, and I stand by that assertion. But not to take away from anything Carson Palmer's done this year, coming off of a knee injury that most guys would have to call it a career at that age. Yet and still, he's among the top 10 in the NFL in passing yards, passing touchdowns. And it helps when you have, like, an old reliable like Larry Fitzgerald. You know what I'm saying? Like a guy that's been catching footballs forever and just doesn't show any signs of slowing down. And granted, football's a funny game because we consider Larry Fitzgerald to be old at 32 years old. But in lifespan, that's just a young man. But for the game of football, he is a dinosaur. You know, by the number only, by the age only. But he plays his game very well. I mean, he's still well-prepared. He still has great hands, runs great routes. He's tough. And with those Vikings corners, you know, really, you know, depleted at this point, I got to think that Fitzgerald and Carson got to be licking their chops, you know, going into tonight's game. But we'll have to see. I mean, that's why they play the games, as Chris Berman once said. You really can't, you know, guess and gauge until you actually watch, you know, the teams play. But tonight is important because if the Vikings can somehow hold on, and if the Vikings can somehow hold off the Cardinals, one, that would give Seattle a much-needed half game, and if they win on Sunday, you know, that would possibly, you know, that would get them to within 2 games with 3 to play. And that's all you really ask for at this point in the season, is to still have mathematic hopes alive for a division title. And also for Minnesota, that would force Green Bay to beat Dallas, and while that's probably going to happen, I mean, you just can't. I mean, well, you actually can't predict that either because we all thought the Cowboys were going to get smoked by the Redskins on Monday Night Football, and lo and behold, they went ahead and took that dub. So this is the time of year where everything in the NFL just gets absolutely wacky. this is the time of year where things get absolutely wacky in the NFL, and it's actually wacky in the chat room. So apparently some people think they've dialed in to the Clay Douglas show or something or whatever, but apparently they're gone now. I probably should have, you know. Actually, we got a couple guests in the room, so if you're a guest, you know, if you're following along on Twitter or on Facebook, just shout us out. You know, we appreciate you for listening. And if you force me to make a prediction right now, because I really want to get to the next topic of discussion, the most important topic of discussion on today's show, if you force me to make a prediction right now, I'm going to pick Arizona. It's going to be closer than people think, but I honestly feel like, you know, the Vikings are going to come out with something to prove, but the Cardinals are just too strong and they're too healthy right now, and that Vikings offensive line is a dreadful question, a very dreadful question. So, in any event, you know, I'll just go ahead and take the Cardinals. I was sorry, I was looking over my notes to make sure I had everything ready for what I wanted to discuss. But yeah, I'll take the Cardinals tonight. In any event, affirmative action is the big topic of discussion, you know, along with terrorism in the United States because of the case of Fisher versus Texas. Now, if you're not familiar with this, let me make sure I got the website correct. Yeah, from talkingpointsmemo.com. The case of Fisher versus Texas is the case of Abigail Fisher, who is being brought by a white woman who was not accepted by the university, who says its policy to use race as a factor in the pool of the students it accepts is unconstitutional. The case is unique in the University of Texas accepts 3/4 of students in a race-blind program, which actually was designed to increase diversity. It automatically accepts Texas high school students who are in the top 10 of their class. The other quarter of students are accepted through a qualitative, holistic review that includes race along with a number of personal and academic factors. The challenger, Abigail Fisher, was not in the top 10% of her high school class and thus is challenging the holistic review program. This is the second time her case is in the Supreme Court. In 2013, the high court sent the case back to a lower court to reconsider university policies under tougher standard, and in 2014, that appeals court ruled in University of Texas' favor. Okay. So you got all of that, right? It's Texas. I mean, it's the University of Texas in Austin. You know, pretty prestigious and decent school. You know, out in the south, southwestern portion of these United States. It's pretty obvious, isn't it? You weren't in the top 10. So? And quantitative holistic approach, it's not tied only to race. But you made it about race, but I'm probably going to offend some people, but let's, you know, just go ahead and call this what it is. There's something very off-putting about the way white women seem to complain about every single thing, how they're always the victim. That's dreadful. And call it what it is. I mean, I've never seen a group of people that constantly are in distress when the world is pretty much catered for them to succeed. And this is white folks in general. This isn't something that, you know, this isn't a new phenomenon by any stretch of the imagination. This is not something new by any stretch of the imagination. This is something that has gone on from the beginning of time. Answer somebody, you know, who's listening to the show. But this is something that has been going on since the beginning of time. And that, you know, the fact that this is actually a case isn't the biggest concern. The biggest concern comes from Supreme Court Justice Antonin Scalia. Now, this is his oral argument. You know, I'm reading this word for word. This isn't something I'm making up. This is something he is quoted as saying. It does not benefit African Americans to get them into the University of Texas where they do not do well, as opposed to having them go to a less advanced school, a slower track school where they do well. He argued that most black scientists in this country do not come from schools like the University of Texas. They come from lesser schools where they do not feel that they're being pushed ahead in classes that are too fast for them. Okay. I'll read that again so you guys don't think I'm going crazy. It does not benefit African Americans to get them into the University of Texas where they do not do well, as opposed to having them go to a less advanced school, a slower track school where they do well. He argued that, quote again, most black scientists in this country don't come from the University of Texas. They come from the lesser schools where they do not feel that they are being pushed ahead in classes that are too fast for them. This is a Supreme Court justice now saying that black people are pretty much saying that black people are dumb and can't get in Texas, University of Texas, or any other prestigious, you know, institution of higher learning in the United States without affirmative action, which is absolute BS, number one. Number two, this is a Supreme Court justice saying that black people are dumb, and he's supposed to hear the arguments for every, you know, person represented in these United States, be it race, color, creed, gender, ethnicity, age, whatever. So you're telling me that it's okay for a Supreme Court justice to say that racism really, that, you know, that this really isn't racist of him to say. This is what people are trying to say. It's like he's just saying, well, he's just telling the truth. The president of the United States is a black man who was educated at Harvard. Are you kidding me? Come on now. Y'all know better than this. Y'all can't be playing. I mean, some of y'all might be dumb, but most of y'all are just playing dumb, okay? Y'all are just playing dumb. Hold on. Yeah, I don't know why people think this is, you know, this is... Obviously, they're trolls, so I'm just booting trolls out just for the sake of booting trolls. But yeah, anyway, you're not going to sit here and convince me that people aren't really paying attention enough to say that, you know, to say that this is, you know, okay for a Supreme Court justice to say. You're not going to get that. You're not going to get that by me. You're not going to get that by me. I mean, my eyes are wide open. I ain't a fool. And none of the people who would be potentially affected by this decision are fools. This is simply put a white woman complaining because she wasn't good enough to get into the university of her choice, and instead of looking inward and saying, well, gee, maybe it's me who needs to go to the lesser institution. Maybe it's me who needs to, you know, go to a school where I don't feel like I'm being push through tough classes. It's blame race. It's blame affirmative action. And the killer is that if you look at the numbers, the people who benefit the most from affirmative action are, drum roll please, white women. Black people, Hispanic people, Asian people, Native American people, Eastern Indian people, they don't by and large really, I mean, they don't make up all of the numbers that benefit from affirmative action. I mean, they're in there. They're in there, mind you. They're in there. But to say that, I'm sorry, I'm being distracted by a bunch of trolls in the chat room. Apparently, they either think... This is ridiculous. Clearly, you know, people just, you know, acting up in the chat room being stupid. But if you're listening, you won't stop the shine. You won't stop the shine. You can try to stop the shine, but you won't stop the shine. I promise you. I promise you. Anyway, This is why affirmative action is important, because when you have a Supreme Court justice pretty much saying that he thinks black people are not smart enough to be, you know, chemists and scientists and different things of that nature and can be educated at a high level, that's a problem. That's a problem, period. That's a problem. And if people don't see that as being a problem, then they're part of the problem as well. Flat out. So where do we go from here? Because it's quite obvious that, you know, this is going to be a close decision. Or maybe it might even be a landslide in the direction of pretty much killing affirmative action. And this would probably be one of the biggest losses, along with the fracturing of the Civil Rights Voting Act, that President Obama would face. I don't think this damages his legacy by any stretch of the imagination, because most of these cats were bought in before before Obama even took office. These are Bush's guys. And this is why people really need to understand that who you vote for doesn't just affect the next 2 or 3 years. It can affect the next 15, 20, and so on and so on and so forth. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. So when you have a Supreme Court justice sitting there arguing that black students should go to schools where they aren't challenged or won't face any challenges, is foolish. It's absolutely foolish. It's absolutely foolish. And scary. Because number one, he's proving that we need affirmative action with those statements alone. But the fact that he has the power to kill it should scare everybody. That should be enough to scare everybody. Because if he's saying this, then God knows how many, you know, admissions representatives, you know, recruiters on jobs, how many of them are secretly feeling like, hey, he's right. I shouldn't have to interview black people or women of different races or anything for jobs, or have them, you know, or consider them for our university. We shouldn't. And guess what? We won't. So that's why you need to watch closely, you know, who's actually paying attention to this affirmative action thing and who actually has an opinion worth discussing. Just watch the people you hang around and watch the people that have these jobs that are like, you know, human resources directors and admissions representatives and all of that, because they're looking for something that says that, you know, I only want to do my job for somebody who looks like me. I only want to do my job, you know, for, you know, a mediocre white kid when I have this black genius or this Asian genius or this Hispanic kid with potential to be a genius, but I just don't like them as people because stereotypes are strong, and I just feel like it's easier to just admit a mediocre white chick into our school. That's pretty much where we are with affirmative action. And it's dangerous. I mean, I think everybody should be paying attention to this. Everybody should be paying attention to this. Because it's going to affect our generation and generations to come. Without any question. Scary enough for you yet? Should be. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time. Greatly appreciate you listening. If you missed us live, blogtoreo.com/Chris Stevens on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything, same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Y'all, actually, don't forget our Facebook page, facebook.com/All Subjects Everything. Y'all enjoy the rest of your Thursday and Friday. Hell, I don't know. We'll figure something to talk about. Y'all enjoy the rest of your day, and until we talk again, y'all be good or be good at it.
No.